These are the names of the Jewish people, the Bnei Yisrael, who came to Mitzrayim. Yaakov came, Ish uveisoi bohu. A man and his home, they have arrived. Bohu, they have come. Let's see Rashi. Ve'ele shemois. Rashi here says, Afal pisha min on b'chayehen. Rashi is asking the obvious question: why is it necessary for the pasuk to repeat to tell us again the names of all the people who came to Mitzrayim? We know this already. This is still obvious. Afal pisha min on b'chayehen b'shmoisam. We already named them in their lifetime by their names. Chazar u min on b'misasan. We are going to count them. Okay, the word min on means to count. We're going to again count them, b'misason, after b'misason, lohidiyam, in their death, meaning that the Rashi over here is telling us a very fascinating principle, that what happened in all of the blank space between the end of Ayichi and the beginning of Shemois, what happened in that empty space? Everyone died. All of the people listed there, everyone listed there at the end of Chumash Bereishis, the end of Bereishis, to the beginning of Shemos, died. And now we're starting really a new generation. That's how Rashi begins. Okay, they were counted in their lifetime. We're going to enumerate their names again in their death, after they already died. Lohidia, to tell us, chibasan shenim shalu lekechavim, they're compared to the stars, shemotzion umachnisan b'mispar uvishmai samashem, takes them out, brings them in by number and by name, shenema, as it says in the pasuk, hamotzi b'mispar tzva'om Hashem, takes forth by name, by number their hosts, the hosts of the heavens, lichulam, each one b'shem yikare, each star is called by a name. There's an enormous amount of information being presented here by Rashi. Rashi over here, a lot of things over here very mystical. Rashi says over here that we're comparing over here the tzaddikim to stars. And what about stars? Stars, they are counted by number, and they have, each star has a name. I know if you listen to the radio, I haven't listened to the radio in a long time, but they used to always, on the radio, I don't know what it was called, you can buy a star, and you can name a star. Every star in the heaven. So I don't know who gives them the right to decide who, the name of the star, but they have I'm sure it's some fraud, where they make believe they're gonna name every star after a person, and for just enough amount of money, if you give enough money, so they'll name a star after you. So first of all, the star is already named. It's too late. You have no right to go give them a name. They're already named. It says over here clearly that all of these stars have already been named. What are they doing? Okay, but over here it says that there's a chiba. When it comes to a star, there is a love. L'hoidiyah chibasan, they're compared to sakin. There's a lot going on over here. Let's see over here the Targum. Let's take a look at the Targum. Targum, v'ilein, these are shemohos, the names Bnei Yisrael, the olu, which entered l'mitzrayim, im Yaakov, givar, a man, v'anosh. Anosh here he translates as let's see what it is. Gevar enosh. Gevar va'anosh. Beso. Olu. Something here does not make sense. Because gevar means a man. And here he's taking two words. Ubeisoi. And he's giving us two words. Va'anosh beise. Not the bais. These were not RVs. These are not caravans. These are not trailers. When it says here in the pasuk uveisoi, it does not mean don't make a mistake and think that it means they took their homes and they took them apart. They took out all the screws and they transported prefabricated homes on trailers. That's not what happened over here. When it says here the word beisoi, it means the people of their home. They all came to Egypt. Now let's see the parish of the mafarshim over here. Over here in Ma'atzari. De'alu l'mitzrayim, sh'dilasu l'mitzrayim, ve'ein perish ha'bo'im mitzrayimo, sh'gil l'mitzrayim. Don't make a mistake and think that it means that they arrived. Sh'asayu mitargim de'asu l'mitzrayim. So what is he coming to tell us over here? Mitargim l'oshan ha'mikra bo'im asher bo, which came. Can take a look, come on. V'yayim mishmashrab of Rashi, sh'amdu al-kach l'oshan sh'akas ha'bo'im, hu b'loshan ho'yveh, present tense. So what is Rashi over here? What is he telling us over here? What's the deeper message over here? Shenichnasu l'mitzrayim. Okay, shenichnasu l'mitzrayim does not mean shehigiu l'mitzrayim. Okay, so he's here in the Ma'atzar, he's coming to make a differentiation between the words of nichnasu, entering, or arriving. What's the difference? What's the difference between entering and arriving? I don't really know. I don't know. Obviously, there's a connotation which is very significant in making that point. Since the pasuk here says de'olu l'mitzrayim, which means they entered, not they arrived. Okay, I don't know. There's something over here very deep which I'm not exactly sure what he's trying to say. Let's go further. L'mitzrayim to Mitzrayim. This is based on the principle we all know. It says in the pasuk Mitzrayim, and whenever you have a hey at the end, the hey at the end of the word is equivalent to having a lamed in the beginning of the word. Im hamilas es b'mikra kan perish im means with their family. Va'anosh beisa the like medish tanachum ve'chaskun shloshna kasa beisa perish ishtoi. Ah, unbelievable! Very, very good. This is a very nice, very powerful limitus of it. Now I told you a make believe pshat. I said, what does it mean to hear word uveisa ish, each man uveisa. So I started to tell you, maybe it means that they had prefabricated homes. Or maybe they lived in trailers. They lived in RVs. So when it says Ish Uveso, they just drove their RV down to Egypt. No, that's not what it means. Because the Targum says it means the Gevar Inish, the people of their home. Now what I said sounds like a joke, because they didn't have RVs in those days and they didn't have prefabricated homes. But maybe they had tents. Maybe they took their tents apart and they brought it down. So that's not the pshat. And the Targum over here, what he's telling us is the other Rishonim say Veso means Ein Besoi Elo Ishtoi, your wife. So maybe when it says Ish, it means each man, each one of the Shvatim, with his wife. Each Reuven came with his wife. Shimon came with his wife. Levi came with his wife. Bohu, what about their children? No. Their children were in Canaan. They were in school. You don't want to really disrupt. That's the worst thing you can possibly do to a child, is to take him out of school in the middle of the school year. People who move, when do they move? They move in the summertime so that they can start off a new school year. It's not good to take out a kid out of school right in the middle of the year. That's what I would possibly think. Along comes the Targum and says, do not make that mistake. Don't make a mistake. When it says what Besa means, it does not mean a wife. Besa here means the Anash. That's why he added another word. Va'anosh Besa, the people of his home. And don't learn that the Targum is coming to reject the interpretation of the Chizkuni. The Medrash Tanchum and the Chizkuni, and they disagree, they hold that what Besa means wife. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. All these are names, we just run this very quickly. Who are the people who came? We have Reuven, Shemayin, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zilun, Yamin, Dan, Nathag, of Asher, Pasekei, Vahi, Kol Nefesh, Yetzei, Yach, Yaakov, Shiv, Nefesh. 70 souls. There were 70 souls in Yosef, Hoya, Vimitzrayim. There was a grand total of 70 souls, and Yosef was in Egypt. Rashi, Pasekei, Vyosef, Hoya, Vimitzrayim, Vahaloi, Hu, Banav, Hoya, Bechlal, Shivim. What's going on? The pasuk connotes that in Egypt he was not part of the number 70. That cannot possibly be. When we go back to Parashas Vayechi, make a calculation, Yosef was part of the 70. Umabalulamdenu, what is the coming to teach us? V'chilo hoyo yoidim shehu hoyo b'mitzrayim. Do we not know that Yosef was in Egypt for 22 years? Ella, so Rashi answers, the reason why the pasuk mentions Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Ella, diachot tzidkosoy shel Yosef. Hu Yosef horoye es soy naviv. It's the same Yosef that was a shepherd. Hu Yosef shahoya b'mitzrayim v'nasa melech. He was the king v'omad b'tzidkoy. Nothing changed. He is the same Yosef. The Yosef shahoya b'mitzrayim. We're coming to compare Yosef, according to Rashi, from pause comparing Yosef to where he came from. Yosef also is considered to be the Yosef Hoy B'Mitzrayim. It's not really clear what Rashi means to have the comparison, but the extra words Hoy B'Mitzrayim means he was the same person he always was. He was in Egypt the same way he was when he was back home with his family. How does the word, these three words, connote that? Maybe the word he, we have a special talk, we have the Gemara, every time the Gemara says the word he, not what it says here, it says hoya, but the Gemara sometimes darshens the word who, and the word who is interpreted to mean behaviyosoi, consistency. The word who means nothing changed one iota. It's the same from beginning to end. So it appears that Rashi is understanding that the same way we can apply that rule with regard to the word who, we could apply the same thing with regard to the word hoya. Hoya has that same connotation that nothing has changed. Let's now take a look at the Targum. Targum says v'hava va ha va o kol nav shoso nafke yarcho di Yaakov shivin nafshin, and it was all of the souls that came forth from the Yerch of Yaakov 70, Yosef Tahava B'Mitzray. Okay, he's not saying anything that is obvious, but let's look over here at the Ma'atzari, V'Hava'ah, V'Tiyena, L'Shon Nekeva Rabbis many. The Lake L'Shon HaKotzah, Abba Behesel HaMishra Targum, okay, he's over here, let's come over here to tell us over here the grammar. Nafshasa, okay, again, also, this telling us over here the same, the expression, Nafshon, L'Shon Rabbim, Tahava'ah, okay, over here with Targum is Menuzil Sheim Yosef Shahoya B'Mitzrayim Hayu Shivim. The Targum Yonis and Menuzil is coming. It says over here the Hava. It seems that Rashi here is coming to possibly disagree with the Targum, and the Targum over here is saying the Hava B'Mitzrayim is similar to what it says in the Targum Yonis and Menuzil, which he basically learns the pasuk a little bit more. More elaborate. He reads the pasuk. He called nefesh yotze yerach Yaakov shivim nefesh. Now you have the Yosef hoya b'mitzrayim, which means together the number 70 will only reach the total 70 when we include in the number Yosef shehoya v'mitzrayim. It's almost as if you have to add the letter shin before the word hoya. Yosef Hoya v'Mitzrayim is part of the people that we need in order to make the number 70. It appears that Rashi does not learn like that. Rashi is coming to reject that you're reading too much into the pasuk. The pasuk really ends Vayhi Kol Nefesh Yotze Yerch Yaakov Shivim Nefesh. Period. That includes every child of Yaakov, no matter where they live in the world. And there's nothing more that needs to be said. It's self understood that Yosef is part of the Shivim Nefesh. So why then did it say this extra expression? Rashi is coming to reject the Targum. It's not coming to tell you that Yosef Hoya v'Mitzrayim is necessary in order to make up the number 70, but rather it is an independent statement, and it's teaching us Yosef's remain in his righteousness from beginning to end without any change whatsoever. All right, that is Pasuk. Hey. Now let's take a look over here at the Ma'atzari. Let's see if he says over here. Or that's it. Now we go to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav reads, "Vayamos Yosef v'chol echav v'chol hador hahu." Yosef dies, all of his brothers and the entire generation. Now this is an obvious contradiction to what Rashi taught us in the first Rashi. Rashi tells us the reason why we list them is we want to list them b'misason in their death. What do you mean? They did not die until Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav is the first time it makes mention that they died. So how then can Rashi tell us the reason why we're going to enumerate the names of the children, af al pi shemi na'on b'chayehen b'harashas v'yichi b'shmoysam chozar u'mina'on b'misason? What do you mean? They didn't die yet. They first die in Pasuk Vav. How are we to understand? So the answer seems pretty obvious, is that we more often than not, very often, we make a big mistake. And we only want to read the Pasuk in order. We like to read words in order. We like to read Pesukim in order. We like to read chapters in order. Over and over, we are humbled to learn that the commentators don't do that. The commentators, they look, there's no order. Everything is stacked in time. And it's impossible to write something at one moment in time. But when you interpret something, it doesn't have to be understood that it's taking place in order. As far as Rashi is concerned, it's as if the parsha begins. As if the parsha begins, if you really want to order it correctly, the parsha should begin, Vayomos Yosef, V'chol Echa. This should really be the first pasuk in the parsha. The first pasuk should be Vayomos Yosef, V'chol Echa, V'chol Adar Hahu. And who were his brothers? Who were they? Who were the people who died? Well, they were Ve'elah Shemais V'nei Yisrael Ben Mitzrayim. These are the people. These are the people. These are the names. Yaakov, Ish, Beisa, Ruvain, Shimon, these are the people. And they total a grand total of number 70. So in other words, according to Rashi, you don't have to come on to Ein Mukdam Me'uchar B'Torah. That term, Ein Mukdam Me'uchar, is not the correct term here. That Ein Mukdam Me'uchar is when you take an entire section, which has a parsha, begins with a parsha, Psucha, parsha, Stuma, and you uproot it from its location and apply it somewhere else. That's called a mukdam mu'ukhar. But within a pasuk itself, or within a section itself, it is a God-given right for you to read the words out of order. And the only reason why they're read in order that is a bit misleading is because the Torah cannot possibly write the words otherwise, because when you write, you have to write one thing at a time. But when you look at the psukim are all being written in one tekufa, in one dimension. Even though it may be misled, you read the psukim over here, it seems like, oh, here we are, we're going back in time, we're going back to Parashas Vayechi, and we're going to enumerate everyone, and then all of a sudden they die. Excuse me, we know that already. What are you repeating yourself for? So Rashi says, no. There's something that happened between the end of Vayechi and the beginning of Shemos. There are four blank lines in the Sefer Torah. You know what happened? Everyone died. And the only reason why now we're going to list their names again, we're going to enumerate their names again, is because Hashem loves them so much, He counts them when they were alive, and He counts them again when they were dead. And thus, when you read this parasha, the correct order of the psukim, as far as we are concerned, is the Chumash Shemos begins, Vayomos Yosef, V'chol Lechem, V'chol Darahu. We are reporting what happened. And if you want to know who are the people who died, who they were, well, then go back to the beginning, and that's who they were. We're not going to write it in that order, because I guess we don't want to begin the parasha with something negative of death. That's seemingly how Rashi has to learn Pshat in the Psukim. So let's go back over here to the possibility. Yosef dies. Let's see the Targum. There's no Rash. The Targum part of the Vav says, "Umis Yosef v'chol achahi v'chol dora hahu," and the entire generation. And in the Ma'at Sari, there is no comments. Pasuk Zayin says, "V'nei Yisrael padu." They were they multiplied. Vayishritzu. Now that does not sound to me like a very nice term. Shiratzim. The Jewish people were like shiratzim. They were like rodents. Okay, it doesn't sound too good to me, that term. Vayirbu, they became many. Vayatzmu, they became powerful. Bimoidmod, very, very much. Who says what atzmu is a good word? Maybe becoming very powerful is not so good. It leads to arrogance. Vati male haritz oisam. What does that mean? Is that a positive term? If you're in their face, we're always told in Golis, keep a low profile. This is not your home. You're only a guest in your host country. And if you're going to show off, you're going to show your face too often in front of the Gentiles, they're not going to like it. If you really want to be nasty, you can read this pasuk as a statement of negativity. Of a Muslim, we like to read this pasuk. Ah, the Jewish people, they multiplied, they became numerous. Of course, but you know something? Ein habrocha mitsuya ela bedavar hasamoy min ha'ayin. It's so true. The ultimate blessing in this world is the blessing that no one knows about. It's between you and Hashem.
Did they do it beyond Goshen? They moved to Malah Arts, which...
Yeah, it seemed like they expanded. They expanded. They're all over the country. All over the country. They live in every state.
Was that a negative thing? That they,
well, I'm trying to say that it is. You know me, I always have this dark side to me. I'm trying to say that this pasuk is not a praise. When we were in kindergarten, they tell us it's a very nice pasuk. Oh, wow, how beautiful. There are six words. 1, 2, 3, 4. Before we have ma'oid, we'll have to see. I will see in a moment. The shisha, six children be keres echad. A woman will give birth to six tuplets. Oh, wow, it's so beautiful. Everyone's having so many children. Who says that's what the pasuk means? The pasuk seems more to be saying something negative, that you're showing off. You're showing off your blessing to the eyes of the nations of the world. They don't like it. And we have, okay, now some words, it's hard to actually appreciate why they're negative. There's certain words that are clearly negative. The word vayishritzu, that's not a nice word. It means to swarm. It's related to the word sherets. Sherotzim are creatures that are not looked upon with many milas in the Chazal's eyes. Okay, vayirbu, many. Okay, that doesn't seem so bad, I don't know. Vayatzim was not necessarily a nice word. It means very tough. It's not nice to be tough. You should have a gentle side to you. B'me'oid me'oid, very, very much. Is that really good? Now, there is, okay, we have to see what this means. B'me'oid me'oid does not necessarily mean too much, too soon is no good. Blessing that grows gradually, toivo ha'aretz, me'oid, me'oid. There's a difference between the term me'oid, me'oid and the term bime'oid, me'oid. The base makes all the difference. When you use it, we have an expression about Yoshua, about Eretz Yisrael. Toivoha aretz, me'oid, me'oid. The same exact word twice. That is viewed as a very positive blessing to Eretz Yisrael. But that's not what it says here. Here it says there's a base, bime'oid me'oid. And that base changes the meaning of the expression, which means they were over the top. Every one of them was a billionaire. All of the Egyptians were paupers. You can imagine what it was like. What they thought of the Jews in the newspaper, that the Jews, they stole our wealth. They're very successful. There's enormous jealousy. B'me'oid me'oid is not necessarily a term of that's positive. And when it says v'atim malei haritz oisam, what about tzinius? Hatznei aleches imelokech. So these terms are not necessarily positive things. That's what we're going to hear in the Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Zayin says, v'yishritzu, shrotzim, shrotzim. So Rashi is giving this a positive translation. Shehoyu yoldo shisha, Bekeres echad, in one belly, in one stomach, six children in one shot. Why? Because there are six words, right? There are six words in the pasuk. Paru vayishritzu, vayirbu vayatzmu, bimoid meoid. There are six words. The six words correspond to six children coming out of the womb in one shot. Okay, let's see the Targum. Targum of Zion says, when they shol nefishu, they became numerous. The isyaladu, they gave birth. Usigiu, they became mighty or numerous. Usikifu, they became powerful. Lachado. What does that mean? One, each one to himself. Let's see. The Ismilias Aram and Chon, the land was filled with them. Now, if you notice, Rashi over here is saying words that is not the way we translate the words. The word paru, the At Unkelis, he's translated over here is Nefishu. They became many. All right, fine. You want to say that means many? Okay. And then when it says Vayishritzu, he translates this to mean the Isyaladu. They gave birth. Okay, so that's, and Rashi said, no, Vayishlim show you, no, I take it back, it's not a contradiction. Because Rashi as well says, Vayishlim Shisho Yoldos Shisha, six, Bekeres Echad, six. Lashon of Leda. And then the next words are Usagidu. Usagidu corresponds to Vayirbu. And the next Vayatsmu is Usakifu. They were very powerful people. Lachado, lachado. Now, what does that mean? Lachado means each one. Here it says me'od, me'od. What? How does me'od, me'od turn into lachdo, lachdo? We will see that in a moment. And then the ismili'as, Adon, in Hoimelin was filled with them. Let's see the ma'atzari, posik, zayin. The is-ya-ladu. The word shiritza, ein va'yishutzu poil yoytze. It's not a active noun, ela poil oimet. It's a descriptive noun. Ulechein tirgim shenoldu. Elo shenoldu tirgumu isilidu. Okay, that's what we just said. Let's see. Veka nakavana shenoldu b'tzura atzuma. They noldu b'tzura in a, yes, the question that translates it shenoldu. Elo shenoldu tirgumu isilidu. Here the translation is isialodu. Is this going to be your question? The problem here is that the Targum is translating the word for Vayishutsu, V'is Yaladu. It would appear that the correct translation should be V'is Yalidu. Okay, I know it's a very fine point, but it's the Lamed should be a Chirik, and the Yud should be a Shva. There's a difference between the word V'is Yaladu verse V'is Yilidu. What is the difference? The difference is what he calls a poel yoitze or a poel oimet. And what does that mean in English? I don't know. Let's figure this out backwards. The word V'is Yilidu is a word that stands on its own. It's basically a verb. It's a verb. It stands on its own. It is an action. Action figure. It's doing something. They gave birth. Period. That's the word isyalidu. It is a poel. Poel means a verb, action. That is yoitse. Poel means a verb that is yoitse, that is active. It's going forth. It's doing something. The word the isyaladu with a patach under the lamed is called an poyel oimed. It's not going forth. It's not the verb. It's a description of a verb, an adverb. It's a description. He was running. He was running fast. Okay, it's describing the verb. It's not actually describing the action. So what is the difference in this context? The difference is the word, this word, vayishritzu, a word that's independent, or is it a description of the word vayirbu? So look how he says, this is going to be, whoops, what happened over here, I'm sorry. This is going to be the difference between Rashi. This appears to be the difference between Rashi and Unkelus. It appears we're going to have over here a machlek, it's like a radar. Send out a notification, an alert, red alert. We have discovered a disagreement between Rashi and the Targum. Let's see how he explains it. The Ma'atzar explains it over very, very, very well. He explains it over here. One more time, this discussion, where we have some little grammar, we learn some new grammar. The is yaladu. That's the way we have it in our text. Ein vayishutzu elo yishutzu pel yaitse. The fact that the Targum translated the is yaladu instead of the is yilidu is an indication that this word is not a poel yoitze. It is not a verb. Ela poel omet. It is an adverb. Ulechein tirgem shenoldu. That's why the chein tirgem shenoldu. Now he's explaining. Over here is a little bit difficult. He explains it. Ela Shenoldu, Ela Shenoldu, the word is related to giving birth. However, the Ela Shenoldu, the real word of Noldu, Tirgumu, elsewhere, is Isyelidu. They gave birth. But over here it doesn't say v'yisilidu, it says isyaladu. So what then does it mean in this pasuk? If it's not going to be a poel yotze, the classic sense of the word, what does it mean here to be a poel oimei? V'kan akavana, shenoldu bitsura atsuma. We are describing how they gave birth. Ulchein tergumu isyaladu. They were isyaladu in an awesome way. Not in the ordinary way. They gave birth in a way that was unusual. Many, many multiple births that broke all the rules of statistics. Okay, further. Kanaraban or Kazaraban. She'ef shalfari shvayishitsu is a new idea. Shenohu leruba. Shenohu leruba means that they moved lerubam ad shatibole aritz mehem. Ela, not sure what it means by that. They moved. The word vayishitsu means that they maybe they outlived their space. They expanded. There was not enough living space in the territory that they in Goshen. They had no choice but to purchase property outside in the suburbs. Aval uglis pasa l'shoyin toloda. He also haloshen mushal min hasharatzim. He translates, he used the word, it's a loshen mushal, it's a barred expression from sharatzim. Shahayu b'toloysam kishratzim l'roiv adkan. So he seems to be saying something different. He seems to say over here, it's also something that, I mean, really, it complements what he said in the beginning, is that we are describing a certain type of birth, meaning multiple births. They had an enormous number of children which broke all of the rules. The Omnam Yesh Nidan Bigamara. This is a question. Im Hashoyrei Tzu Loshan Tenua Oy Loshan Rib. Okay, so this is part of the debate. Is that what exactly is the word Sheretz coming to allude to? Is it coming to allude to mobility? Because that's what a Sheretz does. A Sheretz moves around. It's very hard to catch a mouse. It's very hard to catch flies. These things, they're always on the move. So the word sheretz is coming to teach you movement. If we take the word sheretz and we apply it to human beings, what does it mean? It means they're moving. They're mobile. Why would they be mobile? Well, maybe it means they're moving because they don't have enough living quarters when they're in Goshen. They have to move out. They have to move to new territory. They have to go to Bar. They have to leave Borough Park and go to Lakewood, Toms River, Jackson, Brick, and all of these other communities. They have to move. They have to move. Or maybe the word Vayishutsu is not referring to moving. It refers to multiple births or having an enormous number of children, which is way beyond the average. All right, let's go further. Then he goes into the next section over here. Is this word l'chada? What does that mean? L'achas, b'me'oid me'oid. He translates it l'chada l'achas as one. Now, what does that mean? Kederach ha'tagim. We're talking here echad one she'ain loisheni hu me'oid. Now, what does that mean exactly? Okay, one that does not have a second one. It's called very, very much. Okay, there's a new translation in the word. Ma'od, he translates, it means lachda, unique. It has no partners. It's all alone. Now, if you take that interpretation, go back to creation. Every single day of creation says in the pasuk, "Vayar lekim es ha'or kitoif." Vayar lekim kitoif. At the end of creation, it says, "Vayar lekim es kol asher osa v'hine toiv." Me'od. What does that mean? It's so we in our translation, very. It was toiv me'od. It was not good, very good. What does that mean? If something is good, it does not need a very. Good is good. Good stands on its own. We live in a society today where nothing is good enough. So if it's good, it has to be very good. If it's very good, it has to be excellent. If it's excellent, it has to be superb. If it's superb, it has to be, as Trump says, tremendous, tremendous, even more than superb. And if it's superb, it has to be out of this world. It has tremendous out of this world. there's always another expression that will build upon the basic expression of good. When I was in high school, this goes back generations before you were all born. But when I was in high school, we had a very good Rebbe, Reb Chaim Siegel, and he used to give exams. He used to give exams to the whole school. Everyone would go in, we go in like four times a year, like I think it was four times a year, we were tested. It's a big exam, a lot of pressure, a lot of competition. And you went into his office. I don't know how he did. He tested the whole high school in shifts. He tested about, I don't know, 6-7 boys at a time. Go into the office, and they were long exams. He would test you, go through everything with you for even 2 hours. They were long exams, and we had like a whole week. The Rebbeim would teach, and then after they would teach like for I guess 2 months, and then there was chazara. The Rebbeim got a break, and have to teach, have to give shir, chazara, and you would spend the whole week reviewing. And then you would go into the office, they would have everyone in these things, you go into the office, 6-7 boys, you sit around his desk, everyone was so scared. He had the fear factor. Av Chaim Siegel Zatzal had the fear factor. No one knows how he did that. Everyone was so scared of him. You walk in there like you're shaking in your pants. And he would go and ask, question you, and go have a whole conversation. Then after it was over, you would come into the office one boy at a time, and he would talk to you for about 5 minutes, each boy. And he would talk to you about everything, in general, whatever was doing your life. And then he would basically tell you how you did on the exam. And he wrote down, he had a paper, the class list, and he wrote down your grade. And if I bring up my memory, what is basically a D? A D was Toiv. If he wrote down on the piece of paper Toiv, it was equivalent to getting a D. If you got a Toiv Me'oid, it was a C. If you got Toiv Me'oid Mitsuyan, I'm trying to remember, that was like a B. If you got a Mitsuyan, it was an A. And if you got what's called the Mitsuyan Bakoil, that was an A+. And then there were people who got Mitsuyan Bakoil with an underline. And then there were those that got a Mitsuyan Bakoil with two underlines. What do you think I got? I'm not telling you what I got. Classified files, what everyone would get. But I remember, we always used to joke, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, according to Rabbi Siegel, the Ribbono Shel Olam got a C. V'hinei kol asher asa toiv me'oid. That's like, that's like pathetic. If you get a toiv me'oid, it's like, woo! Pathetic to get a toiv me'oid. Everyone was fighting for the Mitsuyan. And the good classes, the fight was, did he underline the Mitsuyan? Did he not underline the Mitsuyan? Did he underline it once, underline it twice? Toiv me'oid is pathetic. But over here, the Ribbono Shel Olam does not need the word me'oid, just toiv. There's no baloney by Hashem. There's no faking it. If it's toiv, it's toiv. So why do you need a me'oid? We don't even think about this because we live in a world of good, very good, superb, excellent, tremendous, out of this world. We have all these crazy terms because we live in such a fake world. But if something is toiv, it's toiv. So what then does it mean when Hashem writes toiv me'oid? It doesn't make sense. You know who asked this question? The Targum asked this question. And that's what the Targum says, the word mo'od does not mean very. Because that's nonsense by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it's good, it's good. Good means the purest good. What are you going to add? What are you going to enhance the toiv by saying mo'od? And therefore the Targum invents a new translation of the word mo'od. It means one. It means v'inei kol asher osa inei toiv mo'od means all of the items that he created in this world interact with one another to achieve unity. It's not, there's R, there's light, and then there are plants. A plant cannot grow without photosynthesis. Okay, Hashem created the Mayim. The Mayim El, Yonim Mayim Tachtoin. Oh, very good. Have a nice day. No! A human being cannot live without Mayim. V'hine kol asher osa, hine toiv. Everything is good in its own right. But me'oid, part of the creation on Yom HaShishi was the synthesis, how everything came together in unity to serve. Yom HaShishi was the ultimate day of creation. Why was Yom HaShishi the ultimate day of creation? Hashem didn't just create man on Yom HaShishi, didn't just create animals on Yom HaShishi. Hashem created the principle of integration, of synthesis, a compound. What is a compound? Where individuals in unique substances come together and form a new element through unity. This principle of synthesis was created on Yom HaShishi. Toiv me'oid. All of the other days Hashem only created independent items. Toiv, toiv, toiv. And it was very interesting. We're talking about creation. We're talking about, you know, the Big Bang. The Big Bang. And they talk about the Big Bang. They talk about, you know, carbon dating. They have a very big problem. What they don't understand, these scientists, they don't understand that there were things that were created in points in time, and then there was another point in time where there was a creation of synthesis, and that changes everything. I'll tell you also, Marshall, speaking to a doctor, he told something very, very interesting, very, very fascinating. Talk about vaccines. Okay, about is the vaccine safe? Is it not safe? You know, everyone knows the whole Chag Gadya. And then the topic went off onto a very dangerous topic about the anti-vaxxers. People don't want to take vaccinations for measles, for mumps, smallpox, all these horrible diseases that they give children. And before Corona came about, and still, anyone in Kamat, in every yeshiva in America, if you don't take a vaccine, the yeshiva's policy is don't come to school. We're not accepting children in the yeshiva that are going to jeopardize other children. If you don't want to take a vaccine, don't come to the, you're not accepted. It's pretty well established today across the board. Problem is, there are parents, Jews and non-Jews, that will swear their life to you that the day their child took the vaccine, everything went downhill. They will tell you, there are parents out there that will tell you this. And we knock them off as being, you know, from Mars. But there are a significant number of parents. How do you reconcile this? So this doctor said to me something very frightening. He said to me, There are no studies today. When they give the vaccines, each vaccine in and of itself has been proven over and over again beyond a shadow of doubt to be safe. However, in the year 2020, we're not giving only 2-3 vaccines to children. We're giving a very large collection of vaccines because, unfortunately, there are so many diseases and we know too much. No, there have been no studies done to study the interaction, the effect of giving so many vaccines at the same time, and how each one of the vaccines interact with one another. And this is something that's very dangerous, and it's something which demands, in his opinion, immediate study, because the evidence is frightening of people willing to swear their lives that these vaccines are not necessarily safe. But on the other hand, science has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that they are safe. And he says the reconciliation between the contradiction between the parents who are frightened to give a vaccine to their child, and the evidence is not a contradiction, because it may be true that each vaccine in and of itself may be safe, but what about how do they interact, and how much stress are we putting upon little children for their body to absorb at one moment in time when they're very, very young, so much change through the vaccines in a given moment in time. It's a very frightening thing. Why am I bringing that up? Because that's really what we're talking over here, is lechada, as one. Create and yom hashishi shel lechada. You take that over here, and here when he takes that into the pasuk, it says over here, v'neparvi yisub v'yirvayir v'yasmu b'me'oid me'oid. Each person was super rich. B'me'oid me'oid does not mean, according to Targum, very, very much. B'me'oid me'oid. It means, me'oid me'oid means, each person was a multi-millionaire. Each individual had everything that he needs. Now, I started today with you telling you, and the pasuk, this pasuk can be looked in dark light, in a negative pasuk. And that's why it says Vayishritsu, which means a sheret, which is a disgusting creature. When it says the word, it says what Otsum does not have a good connotation. It means a tyrant. And when it says the word now, Bimo'oid Me'oid, it means each man for himself. Selfishness. The Bnei with Paru, okay, we have to know what that word means. Vayishritsu, they become like Shrotzen. Vayirbu, okay, I don't know what that means in this context. But Vayatsum, they become tyrants. Bimo'oid Me'oid, Targum, Lachado, Lachdo, Lachdo. Selfishness. Each person for themselves and not caring about someone else. Vatimoli Eretz Oisam. Why are you showing off? Why are you building these magnificent palaces in the street for the whole world to see? Don't you think the goyim are going to get very jealous? Keep it to yourself. Hatznei aleches. And because of all of these problems, oh, that comes the next. Hashem is not pleased. Vayokam el chodesh alam shem asher lo yoda es yoistif. All right, that's our talk for today. Have a wonderful day. Thank you very much for coming. I'm sorry for coming late. I hope you got the message, but I couldn't make it here on time. And hopefully tomorrow we'll be back on time at 7:15. Have a great day, great night. Thank you very much.
Shayach, everybody. Good night.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Have a good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, good night, good night. What's doing, Mayor?
With what?
With everything.
Gare is really-